Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
You are now tuned in to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and I'm very happy to be able to address you today over the airwaves. I am Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road, outside of Caledonia in the Bartahatchee community. Our church meets at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. I also welcome you on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, in Ackerman, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. And we invite you to go to the website that services this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com, and see the schedule of our church meetings. And also, while you're at it, drop us an email through that website that we sure would love to hear from you. Any questions, any criticisms, we would really appreciate you reaching out to us and letting us know that you're listening. And we also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at 200 West Garrett Road in the facilities of New Covenant Church in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening. We would love for you to join us. You can also go to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, and activate the notifications, and you can join us for our live stream, 6 p.m. every Wednesday, and also 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We have for you a series of messages called Christian Crazy, and we hope that you'll stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
Right. Thank you so much for staying tuned with us here at the Gospel of Grace Radio Broadcast. I'm turned to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 as my text of thought today. And again, I'm Elder Joe Nettles. I'm thankful for you staying tuned in with us. Let's go to the Word of God. 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world does not know the spiritual things of the Lord. And notice the blessing here of us being the sons of God. He called us the sons of God. He called us as his children before the foundation of the world, child of grace. He called you through the Holy Spirit into everlasting life through the sovereign working of the Holy Spirit. And he has called us sons of God in identity as we are believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are able to bask and rejoice and feel assured in that identity. But he said, you son of God, you child of God, you born again, believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ under the sound of my voice today. He said, the world knoweth us not. The world thinks you are crazy, absolutely crazy. The world doesn't understand why you do the things you do. The world doesn't understand why you think the way you think. The world loves to attack you. The world loves to deride you. The world loves to make fun of you on Saturday Night Live. But the world doesn't know you. And the world can't know the things that you know. As a child of God, born again, you must have the Spirit to be able to understand the spiritual things of the Lord, to be able to feel your weight of sin, to be able to recognize that you need a Savior, to be able to see him as the Savior. And by him, I mean Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's understandable that Jesus said, you know, if the world hates you, you know, don't be surprised, it hated me first. But this world will hate you, and they think you're crazy. And I'd like to look at some of the ways that we see in the Word of God that children of God have held themselves, behaved themselves, spoken in certain situations, acted in certain situations, and truly, the world thinks it's absolutely crazy. And I'll give you this word, friends. If we as believers in Christ are seen in this way as being crazy, then we will certainly be distinguishing ourselves in this world that's so filled up with cuckoo crazy. Now, we're spiritual crazy. We're loving crazy. We're supposed to be humble crazy and energetic for Christ crazy. But we're not supposed to be, you know, not recognizing that there should be a distinction made between men and women, that there's no place for a men's room and a women's room, for thinking that it's perfectly wholesome and healthy for our society to advance sodomite or homosexual relationships, allowing them to adopt children and raise them in this unholy situation. See, those things, friends, I see are cuckoo crazy, absolutely cuckoo crazy. People that exalt politicians and look at them as if they're gods. These people are more crooked than a tub of guts. Why in the world would you have any confidence in a politician? A politician is always the lesser of two evils. They're always an extremely imperfect choice to do a job to represent a platform. I mean, my friends, stop venerating these people. That's cuckoo crazy, okay? But we want to talk about Christian crazy. What makes us stand out in this world that doesn't understand us? Well, let's look at some situations in the Word of God and consider them real quickly. In 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, it said that King David, there was a neighboring king of the children of Ammon, and his name was Nahash. He was a king of the Ammonites, and he died. And this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. So Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, died. His son rose to the kingship in his stead. And David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. Here, according to the Holy Spirit, David's motive was not to get a political leg up. David's motive was a true motive of comfort. He wanted to comfort the son of Nahash in his grief. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. Now you may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I want you to see how crazy loyal and how crazy disciplined David is in forgetting things. Because David is the king of Israel. David loved Israel. Israel was the apple of David's eye. David was all about Israel. He was a good king for Israel, most all of his kingship. And he is certainly the most famous king ever to be among the Israelites. But I want you to notice what the relationship was between this Nahash king who had just died and this beloved nation of Israel that David loved back in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then Nahash the Ammonite, same king Nahash of the Ammonites, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them. Now this is what Nahash told him. "Yes, we'll have peace with you. We'll make a covenant with you. We won't overthrow you in a military action, but this is what you got to do." Nahash the Ammonite answered them and said, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel." In other words, what he's saying is, line up all of your men of fighting age, and I'm going to gouge out, blind them in their right eyes. Now, the right was always seen as the place of honor. So gouging out the right eye was not only to render one half blind, but it was also a great disrespect. And also, how are you to battle, sword fight? How are you to be an archer and draw and shoot a bow and arrow if you don't have your right eye? It drastically affects you. So here, Nahash was ugly. Nahash was violent in this respect. Nahash greatly disrespected and brought great grief to Israel. Now, this didn't unfold this way. No, not at all. Because Saul, back when he had sense, rose up and led the Israelites against them. But this is the same Nahash the Ammonite. But yet David is able to forget and to forgive those things that Nahash had done, even to the point of sending an ambassage to go and to comfort his son. And you may say, "I never would have done that." Well, friends, C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." So let's not forget that. Let's be crazy forgetful. And by forgetful, I mean, let's not have Alzheimer's disease if we can help it, but let's put away hurt feelings and pretend as if they never happened. Even though you remember in your gray matter, put that away. Just throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Let's look at another thing that took place. It's 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman was a captain, a great general, a great leader among the Syrian army. Now, these were not Israelites. And Syria had often been a vicious enemy against the people of God. So here Naaman is a man of high esteem among Syria, but Naaman had also been greatly chosen to be blessed by the Lord to do great things among the Syrians. Well, here he's carried away this little maiden, Israelite maiden, as a slave servant. And she is serving Naaman's wife, living in Naaman's house. And verse 3 says, "And she said unto her mistress," because why? What brings this about? Naaman has leprosy, the most feared, terrifying, dreadful disease that somebody could have in that day. It was an automatic death sentence. And the Israelite law stated that if you had leprosy, you had to live away from people. You had to live either in a several house or in a cave or away from civilization. You had to wear a napkin over your face. And anytime someone came near to you, you had to cover your face and scream, "Unclean, unclean." There were very strict laws about people with leprosy. Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy. But yet this little Israelite maid said unto her mistress, Naaman's wife, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord Naaman, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And you know how this resulted? Naaman traveled to see Elisha. Elisha told him what to do. Naaman bristled at it because he told him to go dip himself seven times in the Jordan River. He said, "Are not Abana and far, far greater rivers back home in Syria?" And he turned and walked away with his leprosy. And one of his servants came to him, his underlings came to him and said, "Oh, sir, If he'd have told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? While we're here, just go ahead and do it. You know, in other words, so Naaman did. Naaman went and he dipped in the Jordan River 7 times and he came clean of his leprosy. But I want you to know how crazy compassionate this Israelite maid is. She's a believer in God and she believes in the power of God. And she believes and knows the power that God has worked through Elisha the prophet. And rather than saying, well, you know, it would be good for me if Naaman died of leprosy because he's the enemy. He might have killed this young lady's family. We don't know. He certainly subjugated her land and took her off as a slave servant. So she could have been very bitter and said, I'll always be an enemy to Syria and I'll always be an enemy to you, Naaman. So therefore die, nanny boo boo. She didn't do that. You know, also this woman was living in the same household with Naaman. This young Israelitish maid, knowing about leprosy, must have been terrified that she herself was going to catch this disease. You know, for her, it would have been advantageous if Naaman would have just up and died and they would have buried him. And then she would not be at daily risk to catch this dreaded disease. But she didn't consider any of these worldly aspects. None of these rational mindsets burdened her down. No, she just loved the Lord and she loved Naaman in the name of the Lord. And she spoke up and did a great thing. We don't know what her name is. She's just known as a Israelite, a little maid out of Israel. What a wonderful, crazy, compassionate woman. You know, people had to be looking around and saying, you know, it would have been a lot easier for you if you'd have just let this man die. It might have been more satisfying for you to let him die. And they're saying, little maiden, you are crazy. She said, no, I just worship Jehovah. Oh, crazy, compassionate. Let's look at another example. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, David's men have been greatly disrespected, and David certainly had been greatly disrespected by a very wicked man named Nabal. And Nabal, whose name means fool, and I don't know if that was his given name or if that was his nickname, but Nabal means fool, and he was a fool because he treated David very foolishly, very disrespectfully, and in a very coarse manner. And so therefore, David dispatched his men to go and destroy not only Nabal, but all of the men, as the Bible said, that pisseth against the wall. That's a euphemism for full-grown fighting men. All of them in the household of Nabal were going to be destroyed. Well, he had a wonderful, faithful wife, Abigail. And Abigail found out about this. And what did she do? Now, Abigail was a sweet woman and apparently a gorgeous woman. Because as soon as Nabal wound up dying, Abigail was taken by David as a wife. Certainly, she was beautiful inside and out. My daddy used to say, son, you know, beauty's only skin deep, but ugly's to the bone. You know, but she was beautiful not only in countenance, she was beautiful in her soul. Because she was willing to humble herself and humiliate herself to go and to meet David and his men who were on the way to destroy the men of her household. And even though she had a wicked husband, and she probably would have been much better off had that wicked man been destroyed, you know what she did? Out of faithfulness to her household, and I must say her husband, because he wound up being saved because of this, she went out and met David, and she craved for her household to be saved and Nabal to be spared. Now I'm telling you what a crazy, faithful person Abigail was to her husband and to her household. Crazy faithful. And you know, she was also a part of salvation to David. And I'm not talking about eternal salvation, but you know, David was about to go make a grievous error. He was going to go carry out vengeance against Nabal. And he commended Abigail for preventing him from doing that which belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. So not only did she save her husband's life, the household, but she also saved David from making a grievous error just because of her faithfulness of this dear woman. You know, in Hosea chapter 3, we see another crazy faithful example. Hosea, a prophet, was told by God to go and marry Gomer. Gomer was a harlot, a prostitute. An unfaithful woman. And here Hosea was commanded by God to go and take her as a wife, as a living, visible example of how Israel had been an unfaithful, harlotous wife against a faithful husband who was God. Let me tell you something. When you think that you've been called upon to do something hard for the Lord, You need to stop and think about these prophets of old. You need to stop and think about real Christians who have suffered in real ways, and they've shed real blood, and they've had to go through real humiliation and persecution and prisons before you start belly aching and moaning and complaining because somebody didn't take your advice about the carpet color or what color shades you ought to use or whether we should have this get together or that get together or whatnot. Our sufferings today aren't real sufferings. Most time they're not. Here Hosea was called upon to suffer. And in Hosea 3 verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, after this woman that he had married had left him and had gone and shacked up with another man, had been taken as a harlot into the house of a man who was not her husband. Verse 1 of chapter 3 said, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Oh, friends, let me tell you something. If people tell you, you better straighten up and fly right before the Lord will have you, I reject that. Let me tell you something. If the Lord has loved you and the Lord has bought you through the blood of his son, Jesus, and the Lord has intended to save you, I'm here to tell you, he will save you. And I'm telling you, thank God, he'll give you a new will. He'll give you a new way. He'll give you a new heart. But he doesn't always reverse all of our old foolish ways, does he? But I can tell you, those ways can never ever cause the Lord to fall away from his faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And this is the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. He said, but this Israel looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. So not only add insult to injury, not only did Hosea have to go and get his wife from the household of her lover, of her adulterous lover. Not only did he have to do that, he had to pay to get her back. He had to pay 15 pieces of silver and an omer and a half of barley grain to get her back. And verse 3 said, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. That's how faithful the Lord is to his children, who oftentimes are so faithless. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy, but it's crazy wonderful. And God help us to be that crazy faithful, that the world would look at us and truly count us as a spectacle and say, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. There's no way that that person is willing to do that. There's no way that that person is willing to suffer this humiliation. Why is this person taking this insult? Why is this person taking this slight with such grace and strength and such peace? How could this person be happy when this great grievous thing has been done to them? Christians have been doing that for 2,000 years, friends. And I'll tell you, when we start behaving ourselves like crazy Christians, not like crazy cuckoo. And there's a lot of people out there calling themselves crazy that are crazy cuckoo. They've turned their pulpits over to politicians. They do things that are abjectly contrary to the word, to the plain teaching of the Word of God. They'll stand up there and marry two homosexuals. So contrary to the Word of God. They will just thumb their nose at the Word of God. Now, that's people who claim themselves to be Christian. They have a form of godliness, but not according to knowledge. Let me tell you something, my friends. You can claim you're Christian all day long, but Jesus said, not all that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. There's a lot of people out there identifying themselves as Christians, and they're saying, oh, we're enlightened. We love everybody. We're just, you know, we can love everybody, but loving everybody does not automatically entail that you defend and accept all of their sinful ways. No, if we truly love someone, we will encourage them to repent, to find peace in a peaceful, obedient walk with Jesus Christ, not to shore them up and prop them up in their sorriness. God forbid. That is crazy cuckoo, so-called Christian. And I'm here to tell you, if you find yourself dwelling among a mealy-mouthed, spiritually spineless group of people, I'm telling you, repent. Repent. Leave that. And go find yourself a good, Bible-believing, repentant, humble group of believers that are willing to try to walk in the light that the Lord has given them. And I would encourage you to come to a Primitive Baptist church. I humbly invite you to come because, yes, we are crazy. People hear Primitive Baptist, they think, y'all are those snake handlers. Let me tell you something, friend. Primitive just basically means original. That means we hold to the more original practices of the early church, the primitive church, and the doctrines of the primitive church. Primitive does not mean we're scratching ourselves, hiding in a cave behind a bush, or swinging from a vine, or, God forbid, dancing around, yodeling while we're holding rattlesnakes. Man, I ain't put my faith in a rattlesnake. My faith is in Jesus Christ. If I'm going to handle a rattlesnake, I'm going to handle it with a shotgun or a long-handled hoe. Don't think that that's what primitive Baptists do. We're not, friends, I don't find us to be cuckoo crazy. Oh, but I thank God that we have a desire to be Christian crazy, to stand out and be distinguished in this world by people saying, you know what? They're a little different down there, but I'll give them this. They're trying to do things according to the Word of God. I'll tell you, if that can be said over my dead bones one day, then I've lived a successful life in Jesus Christ. And I feel like I would have honored him if that's so. Friends, we're going to come back on our next broadcast and talk about some more craziness, as the world calls it, craziness in the world of God. But I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be cuckoo for Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be crazy in a Christian way. Now, I'm telling you, if you hear me and you're cuckoo Christian, crazy, you know, just come on back out of that, get away from that, and try to embrace the Word of God. Yes, we're to be seen by the world as crazy, but crazy obedient, crazy faithful, crazy loving, crazy forgetful, and forgiving. So until we're able to speak with you again on these wonderful subjects, may the Lord bless these truths to your mind and heart today.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 and tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Wonder.